Praise the Lord. We are reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends, the Divine Television is starting a new series of meditations and reflections, studies on the mystery of the cross. This we are doing in the context of the Lent. The Christian churches observe a Lent of 40 days or 7 weeks in preparation for the celebration of the Passover mysteries that include the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. At the center of these celebrations stand the cross of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ crucified. The crucified Son of God remains a mystery forever, as at the beginning when he was crucified and when he was proclaimed, even today. An unfathomable mystery, that is the cross. In order to prepare ourselves for this celebration, that is the center of the salvation of the world and humanity, the church is preparing itself in 7 weeks. And these 7 weeks we call the time of Lent. The word Lent is said comes from the Anglo-Saxon word lengt or lengten. And you have the lengthentide. The lengt or the lengten means lengthen, lengthen the days. The word lengt or lengten stands for March, month of March or spring. Maybe it is because in the time of the month of March, the days are lengthening, becoming longer. We know the people living in the northern hemisphere, north of the equator, December 21st is the longest night and the shortest day. And after December 21st, every day becomes a bit longer and the night a bit shorter. And so on the 21st of March, day and night become equal. And then the day becomes longer than night. So this is a kind of lengthening of the day and shortening of the night. That might be the reason they use the word lengthen. But it is also the beginning of spring, when the nature is waking up after a long winter sleep. When the trees had shed their leaves and snow and ice covered the world, now the earth, the world is waking up, springing up from the winter sleep. And so we call it the spring, where the leaves are coming up and the buds bloom into flowers, and the whole nature is waking up. So this might be the reason they use the word lengt or lent. Now, the season of Lent is a time of renewal, a time of rethinking, a time of waking up, a time of bidding farewell to the past, to the night, and waking up into the day. The Lent is observed for 40 days. All the churches, Catholic and non-Catholic churches, observe 40 days of Lent. And this is done in 7 weeks' time. Why 40 days? There are many reasons, biblical reasons, for observing the 40 days of Lent. The first thing that comes to our mind is the 40 days that Moses spent on the mountain. Twice it is said Moses was on the mountain. First, in chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, when Moses had led the people out of the land of slavery, out of Egypt, with the outstretched hand of God, with the mighty works of God, striking Egypt and dividing the Red Sea, the people were led out of the land of slavery and brought to the mountain of God in Sinai. And Moses went up and spent there 40 days waiting for the Lord, waiting for the Lord to reveal himself and his will. The revealed will of God, that is to be the law of the people, we call the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. So in order to receive this word, God's revelation, Moses spent 40 days on the mountain. And then, when Moses received the word of God and on tablets of stone, written by God's own hand, what he saw was not very happy one. Something that was very disappointing and tragic. The people whom God had led out of the land of Egypt had turned their back on God and started worshipping an idol. And Aaron, the brother of Moses, who was to keep guard over the people and their faith, had taken the initiative to make the golden calf. And when Moses came down with the tablets of God, he saw the people worshipping a calf, a golden calf, an idol, instead of God. And he was furious, and he smashed the tablets of stone and broke it, because he was so saddened by the sin of the people. Then he again went up to the mountain, now for another purpose. Now not to receive the revealed will of God, but to ask pardon, do penance, ask for forgiveness of the Lord for the sin of the people. There he spent again 40 days, 40 days and 40 nights, not eating, not drinking, praying in penance, repentance, asking for forgiveness. God, do not destroy this, your people. Forgive them. That was the beginning of the 40 days. 40 days of waiting for the Lord, 40 days waiting on the mountain, asking for forgiveness in repentance, penance. So these 40 days become a beginning in the history of Israel. Another instance also somehow contributes to the observance of the 40 days Lent. That is related to the great prophet Elijah. Moses is the lawgiver, and Elijah is the prophet par excellence. When you say the prophet, he is Elijah. Elijah, the great prophet, he was the champion of Yahweh, monotheism, and he stood all against the whole nation governed by Ahab and his mighty wife Jezebel, both of whom were bent on destroying or banishing the worship of God, even the name of Yahweh, from the people. They destroyed the temple of Yahweh, they killed all the Yahweh worshippers. And in this context, Elijah comes to the fore. And there he confronts the whole nation, including the king, on Mount Carmel, with the challenge: the God who sends down fire and receives the sacrifice will be God. We have the whole episode reported in the chapter 18th chapter of first book of Kings. In the text, Elijah won. The Baal and their worshippers could not bring down fire on the sacrifice they were offering. Finally, when Elijah prayed, God sent fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrificial animal that was laid on the altar. And by this it was proved that Yahweh alone is God and there is no other God like Him. 18th chapter of Elijah 1. The Baal and their worshippers could not bring down fire on the sacrifice they were offering. Finally, when Elijah prayed, God sent fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrificial animal that was laid on the altar. And by this it was proved that Yahweh alone is God and there is no other God like Him. And following this incident, all the prophets and priests of Baal were killed at the order of Elijah. But then the Queen Jezebel, who was the protagonist, the propagating the Baal worship, and who was also feeding these 850 prophets and priests, became so furious and resolved to kill Elijah. In chapter 19 of the first book of Kings, we have this. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to the Judah. He left his servant there. And by himself alone, he went into the desert, sat there, prayed to the Lord to take his life. He doesn't want to live anymore. And there he slept, with the hope that he would not wake up again. But God woke him up. God sent his angel with bread and water. "Wake up, eat and drink, or else your journey will be too hard," the angel said. Elijah woke up, took the bread, drank the water, and then he went on. He went on for 40 days and 40 nights. Suddenly the angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. That is what we are observing. 40 days and 40 nights without eating, without drinking. In the strength of the bread and water he received in the desert, Elijah walked. And he was walking with a goal. He was walking to the mountain of the Lord. In a situation where the whole world or the whole country was abandoning God at the command of the king, and the people who believed and worshipped the true God were persecuted and were brutally exterminated. In this context of persecution and total apostasy, the prophet Elijah made this march of 40 days and 40 nights through the desert up to the mountain of God. And these 40 days were days of fasting for him. So these are the two major incidents that we remember when we observe the 40 days of Lent. One more incident from the Old Testament. The people of Israel, when they got out of the land of Egypt, they were to march into the promised land, Canaan. But it was not a straight march. They had to wander through the desert 40 years mainly due to their own infidelity to God, to their sin. They were tempted and they failed. They sinned. So the 40 years of wandering in the desert was a time of temptation, was a time of trial where they failed and they had to repent. So these 40 years also play an important role in our 40 days of Lent. But above and beyond all these 40 year or 40 days, the one thing most important is the passage we read at the beginning. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. This time, this period of 40 days, we are remembering and we are celebrating, observing through days of fasting and penance. As Jesus fasted in the desert, we observe 40 days of Lent. Jesus started the 40 days with a baptism. He received the baptism of repentance that was administered by John the Baptist. We know Jesus has no reason to repent about anything. He is Son of God, sinless. But the sinless Son of God has taken upon himself the sin of the world, so much so that John the Baptist, when seeing Jesus, said, "Behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world." So Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world and he joined the sinful crowd in receiving the baptism. And after the baptism, he was led into the desert by the Spirit of God. And this is the beginning. The 40 days was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus in the desert. The beginning of the ministry. And this beginning was marked by great temptations. He was tempted by the devil. We'll have occasion to meditate on the temptation and the role of devil and Satan in the life and ministry, as well as in the passion of Jesus Christ, as well as in our own lives. So he was tempted. The 40 days of fasting was also a 40 days of tempting, temptation and trial and test. Jesus confronted the tempter with the word of God. And he succeeded. He won his victory, the first victory, or the powers of evil in the desert through the observance of Lent fasting and the use of the word of God, proclaiming his allegiance, his total fidelity to God and his will, his total surrender to the will of the Father. That was the time of the Lent of Jesus. That's how we come to the 40 days. Now, how is this 40 days? How do we make this 40 days? Which are the 40 days? The end is the Sunday, the Easter Sunday. So the 40 days leading up to the Easter Sunday should be considered as the Lent. Usually we observe 7 weeks as Lent. But 7 weeks have not 40 days, but 49 days. Then how do you make the 40 days? All the Sundays are considered as non-fasting days. So we are left with 42 days now. And of the 42 days, 2 days the beginning. So the first 2 days are left out. And so the Lent starts on a Wednesday. And from a Wednesday to the last Saturday before Easter, we have 40 days. So these are the 40 days of Lent. The 2 days before the beginning of Lent proper, very often called carnival holidays. In some countries it is 2 days, somewhere it is more, maybe 2 weeks. But whatever, it's a concept. And the word carnival is originating from the Latin word, either from carnem levare, to remove meat, flesh, or carne vale, farewell flesh. Carne vale. Vale means farewell, bid farewell, bye-bye. So bye-bye flesh. That is the word carnival means. That would mean that we are taking leave of meat eating. Meat eating is only a symbol of a pleasure-loving life. So all that gives comfort and pleasure is being removed from the life. So with the carnival, we start the Lent. And the Tuesday before the Lent beginning, the Tuesday is very often called, especially among the Protestant churches, the Shrove Tuesday. Shrove Tuesday. And the word Shrove comes from the verb shrive, shriving. That means confessing one's sins. Confessing one's sins and obtaining absolution and start the Lent with a purified heart. Initially, it was observing or receiving absolution through confession. For those who accept the sacrament of confession, they confess to a priest. Others who do not have this confession as a sacrament, they confess their sins to God and somehow purify their hearts by repenting of one's sins and confessing one's sins. So the Tuesday is the day of preparation. But later on, this Tuesday became a Tuesday of celebration. In many countries, it is called Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is French word. Mardi is Tuesday and Gras is fat. Fat Tuesday, they call it. So this is a day when you bid farewell to all the fatty substance, because the Lent formerly was very strictly observed, eating no meat, no fish, no milk products, etc. So all that is related to fat is being eaten today on this particular day, and so you have the Mardi Gras. And this is also called Pancake Tuesday also, in which every fatty subject is put together and you eat it, and for a long 7 weeks you bid farewell. That is the Mardi Gras or the Shrove Tuesday. And the Wednesday on which you start the Lent, we call the Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday because people put ashes on the head or make a sign of the cross with ashes. And this is how we begin the Lent proper. So the Ash Wednesday and the sign of the cross with ashes have a very important significance. Putting ashes on one's head is a sign of repentance, sign of penance. And we'll see it tomorrow in a greater detail when we speak about fasting proper. So putting ashes on the head and making this ashes with the ashes a sign of the cross. Ash or dust reminds one, first of all, about one's own mortality. We are not eternal here. We are dust, and unto dust we will return. That was the result of the first sin. We are humans, we are mortals. We are taken from the dust, and unto dust we return. So when we put ash or dust on our head, we are reminded that we are all transitory. We are all mortals. And whatever is in this world is transitory. Our life, our body, our wealth, our pleasures, all that we accumulate, all this will pass away. That is what the ashes remain. Ashes remind us of. We ourselves will be turned into ashes and dust. And the second is the sign of the cross. We make a sign of the cross on the forehead or on the head. And usually it is a sign that is remains on the head for the whole day. So the cross, we are signed by and with the cross. The sign is put on the forehead. Sign is showing up something. So what does a sign mean? First of all, we are signed by the cross of Christ. Cross of Christ, above all, says farewell to sin and to penance for the sins. Repentance, penance. And also reminds us that we are saved by the cross of Christ. We are marked. And this marking, there are two important texts in the Bible concerning the marking. And I'll read one of them. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, there is a very interesting, important text. Ezekiel is speaking about the glory of God leaving the temple of Jerusalem. The glory of God rising from the Holy of Holies and reluctantly coming out of the temple and going to the Mount of Olives and then flying away. God leaving the temple. God abandoning the temple because of the sin of the world, sin of the people. And after God left the temple, there is a slaughter coming in. All the people in the town are going to be slaughtered, butchered by the sword. And before the slaughtering takes place, God tells the angels to put a mark on the head of the people whose head I read from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, verses 3 and following. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub on which it rested to the threshold of the house. The Lord called to the man clothed in linen, who had the writing case at his side, and said to him, "Go through the city, through Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of those who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in it." To the others he said, "In my hearing, pass through the city after him and kill. Your eye shall not spare you, and you shall show no pity. Cut down old men, young men and young women, little children and women, but touch no one who has the mark." So this is the mark. In a total destruction following upon the total sinfulness and apostasy of the country, God is punishing. And the sign on the forehead gives protection to this. So this is what we are bearing. And again, in the book of Apocalypse, you have chapter 7, another mark being placed. So we place the mark of cross on our head to remind us of the repentance, to remind us of the cross of Jesus Christ, and also is a sign of protection. So marked with the sign of cross, we are entering into the period of Lent. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this season of renewal and repentance and new life called Lent. Enable us to observe this Lent in its true spirit of recognizing and repenting of our sins, confessing and getting rid of our old habits. Enable us to live a new life that will lead us through the cross to the life eternal, to the glory of the resurrection. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.